Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now when you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, you can use promo code DNVR, make your first deposit, and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook. I am Patrick Lyons.
I am Susie Hunter, and look who we are joined by, Sean Bouchard, currently of the Albuquerque Isotopes. Sean, thank you so much for hanging out with us on a Monday morning. Before we make it about you, I know we will make it all about you, but we need to know, when Whit Bernard was called up, when you all were there with him, what was that energy like? Because he kind of doesn't remember all of it. He was like, I kind of blacked out.
Yeah, wow. I already got chills again just thinking about it. It was pretty special. We had a, obviously we had a game coming up, and, you know, there was, I think it was Daza who got hurt, and then everyone's like, well, you know, they're going to need a center fielder to go up there. And I mean, Winton obviously has been well, you know, talked about his season that he's had so far this year has been insane. So we're like kind of looking at him, and he's, you know, happy-go-lucky as he always is, totally kind of clueless to everything except for, you know, our immediate team. And you know, when our manager, Warren Schaefer, came into the clubhouse, he called everyone up, and he said, can someone get Winton's headphones out of his ears? And he was, you know, sleeping, kind of getting ready for the game, and he pulled his headphones out, and then, you know, he just said, hey, man, after 11 long seasons in the minor leagues, our guy Winton Bernard's going to the show. And it was just, there was kind of like a split second of just like kind of just like a collective, like, I don't even know the right word to describe it. Kind of like chills, happiness, like just everyone was just like so excited. And then just Winton's face right away just instantly started crying. It was just such a special moment. You know, to see that firsthand and to experience that was really awesome. And, you know, like everyone has said now, like the same thing, man, it couldn't have happened to a better guy. Everything that he's been through, it was a really special moment. So I'm really happy I got to be a part of that.
From a ball player in your perspective, right, you have that perspective because, you know, during your time in the minors and obviously even with the Rockies earlier this year, you've played with guys who they play as hard as they can. They work as hard as they do each and every day. Right. And sometimes it doesn't work out and they're down in the minors 3, 4, 5 years before they have to hang it up. So right, for him to be doing it for 11 years and to be doing it at such a high level, it right, seemed overdue, and for it to have not have happened almost just right, doesn't seem just. And so I imagine that's also part of it is, hey, this is finally fair, because baseball isn't always fair. It seemed fair in that moment.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, professional sports in general. I mean, life, I guess, is pretty unfair, you know. But I think time and again, you know, throughout the years, especially in sports, man, there always seems to be kind of special moments like that. And, you know, when you always hear that cliche, you know, just you know, stick it out, keep going, put your head down, keep grinding, all that stuff. You know, it does seem cliche sometimes, but when you see it really get personified, you know, especially through Winton, through some other stories throughout the years, it really makes it special. And it gives you perspective of, you know, man, if you want something bad enough, you know, there's a will, there's a way. And like I said, couldn't have happened to a better guy. And I think I can speak collectively for all of us baseball players, but also all of us Rocky fans, that, man, it's special for sure. And it's been fun watching him. We've been able to catch a couple games that he's played. But yeah, you know, like for someone like him, it's like, who knows how long the ride's going to last. And, you know, we're going to support him and everyone for as long as it does. And it's been a lot of fun for sure.
All right. Now, since we're on the topic of call-ups, I want to talk about your call-up because
it's a little different.
you maybe you slept in a little bit too much. We know you like to sleep in, but what happened there?
So yeah, it was a little different than Winton's and then from some other, I guess, stereotypical call-ups. Yeah, so I guess the short-ish version of it is just I was, yeah, sleeping. Woke up at about 9 o'clock, just, you know, to go to the bathroom. I had full intentions of going back to sleep right after. But then I checked my phone real quick, as I kind of always do, just to see what's going on. And I saw that I had 4 missed calls from our manager, Warren Schaefer. I had a couple other missed calls from our farm director, Chris Forbes. And I kind of was sort of heart, like skipped a beat a little bit. I didn't know if I like had done something wrong. You know, like I had no idea. And so, you know, your mind starts racing a million different directions. And I was kind of like shaking. I was like, geez, like I've never had this before. Like maybe something happened. So I called our manager back and kind of real quickly, I was like, hey, Shafe, sorry. Like, you know, I was sleeping. Like, you know, how's everything going? Like, you know, what's up? He's like, hey, man, like, I wish I could, you know, give you better, like, do this in a better situation. But he's like, you're going up. You're going to go on the taxi squad. You got a flight in a couple hours. Like, you need to get to the field. You need to pack. You need to get everything going. And I was like, okay, like, sounds good, you know, like I had no idea what to expect really. And then, yeah, I just kind of like paced back and forth in my apartment for about 10 minutes straight. Just didn't even really know if it was real or not. And then, yeah, packed all my stuff up and just barely made the flight to Denver. So it was pretty crazy. It was different, but it was fun nonetheless.
That's hilarious. Like, imagine, yeah, getting up to go, you're going for a bathroom break, and then, like, yep, a minute later, you're amazing.
And then
leader.
I get called up. Yeah, it was a quick turnaround for sure, emotionally. But, no, it was good. It was, like I said, it was different, but we made it, thankfully.
Baseball is strange that way. I think all sports can be where, yeah, you're at a moment at like almost a crossroad. Like you said, like, what did I do wrong? I'm getting blown up here from like, all angles. This is bad. And like,
yeah, I'm thinking, I don't think I've done anything wrong. I don't think I can get in trouble right now, but, you know, thankfully I didn't.
The exact opposite happens. It was good news. And it was interesting timing. I mean, we know about fathers and sons when it comes to baseball, but sons and daughters and parents and mothers involved too. But you absolutely make your debut there on Father's Day, and for your parents to even be in person too, I think took it to another level.
Yeah, that was really special. You know, for a lot of reasons, having my family and friends there was obviously special. And then for it to be on Father's Day was definitely, it was awesome. You know, my dad came down and was down the field level when I was warming up, and to see him and to see the stadium and, you know, to look across the field and see the Padres, you know, from San Diego, grew up a Padre fan. It was just a lot of it kind of really made it like, wow, like, you know, I'm here. And that was a special moment for sure.
And then we all descended upon you in a scrum to say, all right, big league interview. Who are these people? You're meeting 25 different people after having already met 75 different people. But you handled it really well. And your personality came out like it is now, and very jovial and funny. But I mean, that's only part of the experience is the game. But there's all those other things around it, making the flight and whatnot. And a lot of people probably don't realize that there's so many more bells and whistles than just standing at home plate for your first ever plate appearance in the big leagues.
Right. Right. No, it was definitely a whirlwind, to say the least, but it was fun. You know, like you, it's hard to, I guess, prepare for moments like that. And so at the end of the day, I've had a lot of teammates and friends reach out, that have obviously had those experiences before, and they gave me a lot of great advice. You know, kind of just be yourself, go up there, have fun. It's all the same stuff, just some more people and, you know, bigger stadiums. So, you know, it was a good time. And like I said, I try to obviously do whatever I could with you guys and try to be nice and try to pretend like I knew what I was doing, but I really had no idea. So I was just trying to go for it. So let you guys make it pretty easy though.
I mean, we asked you some tough questions, like, did Matt Holliday touch home plate? That's got to be hard for you to answer, right?
And I think I said I had no comment, and I still don't.
No, I remember what your comment was, because I asked the question. You said, ooh, took a big deep breath, and you said, well, according to Major League Baseball.
That's what I said. That's right.
He was safe. We'll leave it at that.
Exactly.
Great answer. Great response. You're a professional.
Just
already.
A natural at PR
already.
Over here.
Yes. I know, exactly. You guys probably hate me.
No.
No good sound bites out of me.
It's a great
that was
answer.
A good, no, good. It was a good one. We promise.
We spoke with Winton yesterday post game just to kind of see how the first weekend went in general.
Right.
And that was something that whenever I would go to Hartford or talk with some of the guys in the minors, just how at each level of the minors, the stadiums get bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And so what was that like for you being at Coors Field? You go, there's just another level on top of it for what Isotopes Park is. Isotopes Park's pretty big in general, 15,000-17,000.
Right.
We're talking
yep.
three times as many people. What is that like playing on the same baseball field you have since you were a kid, but now everything around that field is much, much different?
Yeah, it's, you know, I got out there pregame. So I got in the night before, walked in like the sixth inning, or the day before, I guess, walked in like the sixth inning during that day game. And then I was kind of walking around, and I got there early the next day and was able to get out in the field and kind of look around and get my bearings straight. And obviously during BP, I was able to get out there and move around and, you know, see everything for the first time. So, you know, walking in for my first plate appearance wasn't the very first time, but I don't know, like to a certain extent, yeah, there was a lot more people and that's cool. You know, it's fun. That's what you dream about. But at the same time, you know, I think when I'm out there, I almost just feel like I'm back, you know, at my Little League field with 10 people out there, all parents and siblings and stuff. And it's the same game, you know, like when you're a kid, you dream of playing at big league fields. And then when you're in the big league field, you're just like, hey, man, I'm just like back home in Little League. You know, it's all kind of the same. And so that's at the end of the day, you know, you're there to play baseball and that's that. But, you know, having a lot of fans that the Rockies obviously get in the bigger stadiums, it's fun. You know, that's what you play for. And that's definitely what you dream of.
I love that. So I think one of my favorite moments this whole season was when you got up to Colorado and Jake Bird, your teammate from all the way back at UCLA.
Yep.
He had also made his debut that night. When we asked him, hey, what's the best part, like, how are you feeling? He's like, no, like, I think the best part is that my friend just got called up too. Like, this is such a cool weekend. And I love that. So I actually, before all the guys left, I asked Jake Bird, I was like, okay, what's something that we can ask Sean that will totally throw him off or like totally make him laugh? And he was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I gotta think about this.
There's too many things.
But the first thing he came up with, the first thing he came up with is, what do you think of wearing polo collared shirts and basketball shorts as a combo? Do you have
the first thing
about
I think
that?
Of is Jake Bird's wardrobe. That is the first and only thing I think of when I think of polos and basketball shorts as a combo.
Who's letting him dress like this? What's going on?
That's Birdman. That's what makes him him. And we love him for it. So, man, you know, whatever he likes to rock, I support it.
That's like the wardrobe version of a mullet, you know, where it's like party on top, business in the back.
Hey,
he's business on top, party down And waist down, like, that's great.
That.
He's ready to play.
That's perfect.
He was much more dressed up yesterday. I have not seen that combo at all at Coors Field.
I think the some of the older guys have gotten to him a little bit, kind of helping him out. But at the same time, he's going to be himself no matter what, and that's what makes him great. And that's why he's there, and that's why he's going to be a great pitcher for years to come.
That was a very Sagittarius quality, by the way.
Is he?
He is. Yeah. Yeah, I keep track of everyone's stuff. So
that's funny.
Yeah. Well,
I guess that fits.
Next time around, you'll have to tell us what time you were born, because Susie is very much into the birth times. But
we'll say that for next one.
Stay that for next one. But going back to one of the things that you said with Jake, yeah, is you know, like, it's wild how you guys have been together for so long, going mm-hmm. back to, using your words, scrawny freshman at UCLA, going to the weight room. What is that like, having someone to kind of share this experience with? I mean, again, all your teammates are sharing your experience, but quite literally almost step by step.
Right.
It's almost like you've got a brother, a twin brother, that you're really doing everything with every step along the way.
It definitely makes it easier, you know, when you have shared experiences, you know, through good or bad. It definitely makes it a little bit easier knowing that you're not the only one going through something. Like I said, good or bad, you know, he got called up like a week and a half, I think, before I did. I think on a taxi squad in San Diego, didn't debut for a few more days after that. But, you know, he was already there, and you already kind of got to experience, obviously, secondhand through him, you know, the excitement, the adrenaline rush, that move. And then when it happened to me, he was one of the first ones to reach out. So, you know, it's really special. And it's, you know, it's funny, you know, when you look back in all those years from, you know, through college and through the minors, and then now, you know, kind of towards the upper levels of the minors and then Denver, it's really special to have someone that has followed that same path. And, you know, obviously you've become really good friends with those guys, and it makes it easy to root for. And it's, you kind of just build that relationship. And it makes it, you know, a much better relationship off the field, on the field, as teammates, as someone that you can depend on and trust on. You know, it's been great, definitely.
Yeah, one of the guys.
Oh, go on, Patrick.
Well, I was just going to ask about Jordan Pacheco, because you did mention him. You know, when you're up with Colorado, he's new to the Rockies this year as the hitting coach down there in AAA in Albuquerque. What would you say his approach has been like this year? Because it sounded like, you know, you very much credit him a little bit for some of the, you know, progress that you've made from last year at AA to this year.
Yeah, he's been extremely instrumental to my success this year. And I can say that about all of our coaches and teammates, but him in particular, I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like I've really taken to his style of coaching and his way of just communicating. You know, it's almost, I don't know, if you ever get to talk to him, I'm sure he'll laugh and say this is wrong, but it's almost kind of like a big brother relationship, where whenever I feel like I'm doing something wrong, or, you know, whatever at the plate, you know, even in general, you know, at this level and this stage of my career, you know, I always come up to him with questions and just ask him about, you know, everything that he's gone through, and, you know, what I should do differently, whatever. And just the way he talks to me is just very, I don't know, palatable, I guess, might be the right word. And it just, you know, everything he says, as far as approach, as far as just going out and enjoying yourself and really just being where your feet are, is kind of his MO, you know. And like anyone in AAA, right, or at any level, you know, you're trying to move up and you're trying to get to the big leagues and you're trying to get to that next step. But I think what he's provided is some interesting perspective of, hey, man, like, obviously that's where you want to be and that's where we're going to work towards. But you're here for now, so let's enjoy being here. You know, don't lose sight of where you are because you're looking at where you want to be. And I think he's provided a lot of really good, just like I said, approach, mindset stuff. Even just life perspective that I think has really helped me so far this year. And I'm extremely grateful and happy that, you know, he was our AAA hitting coach this year. And, you know, it's been awesome to have him.
That's awesome. I love that being where your feet are, because obviously, too, your progression through baseball is not linear. You're going to move around a lot. But I have to say, August has been good for you. Batting 306,
has
two
it?
Home runs, five RBI. You're having a good August.
Yeah, no, like I said, you know, obviously the goal is, right, the goal is to get back up there and to see you guys in person again. But at the end of the day, like, that's out of my control. Whether that happens again this year or next year or, you know, if ever again, you know, who knows? You know, the only thing I can do is obviously go out there and help our team win and try and do whatever I can, you know, wherever I'm at, whether that's in Albuquerque or literally anywhere else. And I, like I said, I think a lot of that perspective has been imparted on me by Jordan. And I think it's been a pretty big, I guess, step in my maturity as a player and even just as a person. So,
Now my last big hard-hitting question is, what's been your favorite jersey to wear this year? Either Isotopes, you know, a flavored, or you can even throw in the Rockies City Connect as far as like just alternate looks.
Wow.
Which ones have at least stood out that you can, you know, give them all honorable mentions, so to speak?
I feel like the easy answer, but the right answer, is the City Connect jerseys. Sure. Those are, you know, when those got unveiled, however you pronounce that, earlier this year, you know, it was obviously really sweet to see all the little tidbits that Nike added to it. So that was really cool. And I remember kind of reading up on some of the stuff. I was like, oh, I didn't know that about Denver. I didn't know that about Colorado. I didn't know this. So that's been really cool. And it provides a new way to really represent the city and the state, obviously, and that, and honestly, the general area, the surrounding states too. So that's obviously, I think, the easy answer for that. I don't know. I feel like any big league jersey just fits a little bit better and it's a little bit softer and a little bit stretchier. And so it's kind of hard to say anything but those, but some of the Albuquerque ones are pretty cool too. I know it's kind of a running joke in our clubhouse about, you know, what's the hot jersey? What's the one that we've been winning in lately? So I guess whatever jersey that is, whatever the hot jersey is, that's my favorite.
What is the hot jersey these days?
I don't know. You might have to, Mariachi's. Might need to do a little bit more deep dive.
Patrick, you gotta make a spreadsheet on it.
But I remember seeing a win-loss column somewhere with some of the jerseys. I forget which one is which, but like I said, whichever one's hot for that week or for that month, I'm all for it.
Actually, I do have another question. As I was thinking about this, Rockies Clubhouse, you know, everyone's wearing the Crocs now. You also have the MVP chain. So, like, there are these little traditions that go on. Every clubhouse has them. Can you pull the curtain back a little bit? What's one of those little traditions you guys have in the Isotopes clubhouse that, you know, that you guys keep things loose and fresh, or something that's trending that everybody has in their locker, whatever it may be?
Man, I'm trying. I don't know that we really have anything cool like that. I wish I had a better answer for you. Trying to think, I don't know that we really have, you know, a chain, you know, post game or anything. I guess just my bad music playing pregame is probably the only thing that's constant. But I don't know. Now that you bring that up, maybe we got to get something going for these last few weeks of the season.
Sombrero. I mean, you got to borrow one of the sombreros on a mariachi.
The sombrero on homers on the mariachi night is fun, but. Yeah, as far as, I guess, consistent things like that, yeah, we don't really have a whole lot.
DJ Bouchard is on the ones and twos. That's good, though. That's good.
Exactly.
All right, now speaking of stuff going on in the clubhouse, have you had a chance to get your hands on Coco's famous smoothies?
Yes. Yes, I have. He always makes, like, it's like 1.5 cups, and that half cup is pretty valuable.
That's what he said.
He kind of walk into the clubhouse and it'll be kind of like the part from Nemo where all the birds like mine, right? Like, everyone's kind of like, hey, like, I'll take it. Is anyone gonna drink it? I'll take it. Yeah, you don't want it, I'll have it. So it's pretty funny, but they're pretty run-of-the-mill smoothies. You know, it's just some basic ingredients with you know, I don't know, maybe it's the magic of Chef Coco, but no, there that half leftover cup of a protein smoothie shake combo is it's like gold in our clubhouse for sure.
Secret ingredient has got to be love.
It's got to be.
That's what it is.
Coco's just general aura is it might be the special ingredient.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun. Good to see you guys again.
Hope we get to see you up in Colorado soon, my friend. Stay well down there.
Fingers crossed. Thank you guys. And until then, you guys have fun. Take care of our guy Winton and Birdman and everyone in that clubhouse.
We will. Tell them I miss them.
But no, thank you guys again for having me. It's been a good time.
All right. Talk to you later.
Oh man, that
what
was
a
great.
Nice young man.
Chef Coco, that's it.
Chef Coco.
Cue the graphics. That's it. That was what he said. One and a half. Everyone's fighting for the final half. Like he's legit making that much. So I can just imagine in the clubhouse, just everyone's kind of, you know, I'm sure he does it around the same time. So everyone's kind of looking around like, all right, he made his first step to the kitchen area, and you're keeping your eye on him. You see who else notices. It's good. I think
sure he's got a lot of hoverers.
Oh, a lot of like the gulls in Finding Nemo. That's it.
Yeah, that was hysterical. That was such
ABQ
a great
gulls. That's it. The gulls have descended upon the ABQ clubhouse. I love
it. I've got the image in my head, and it's hilarious. I'm so glad that we got to talk to him. I love getting just that little bit of dirt.
good personality. Again, great at we hit him with those quirky questions where you could possibly get in trouble, but he's savvy enough. Sean is great. We're going to see him again. I'm very confident because you pointed out him playing really well in August. He's been consistent all season long. Like look at his best and worst months, they're not too far away, relatively speaking. So he's been a consistent guy. Can play a bunch of different positions. So I think we're going to see him a bunch. We'll see him a lot more this year. We hope to see you a lot more on our members-only Discord. Now, only 50 cents for your first month at thednvr.com. You don't just get access to that and access to us behind the scenes where you don't have to worry about politics or a-holes. You can chat with everyone in the community. You also get all the great coverage from the Nuggets, Avalanche, Broncos, Rockies, Rapids, golf, all the great coverage that we've got, not to mention rugby. You get price breaks on all the Broncos tailgates, Nuggets party buses that we've got going on that should be coming up. First tailgate was fantastic. Make sure you go on social media. You'll see it just about anywhere DNVR, DNVR Sports is mentioned. So again, only 50 cents for your first month. And if you want that annual membership, you actually do get a free shirt from dnvrlocker.com. You can also help support one of our sponsors, Breckenridge Brewery, because they did such an amazing job reaching out to all the Avalanche fans out there and supporting them with free tickets all throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. They even gave away tickets to the finals. Every single game that they kept winning and going on to the next round, they were giving tickets away to community stars. And I just love sponsors that give back to the community. And the community responds in turn and picks up some of that Avalanche Ale. It's the year of the Avalanche Ale. It's just not going to stop. Normally, certain flavors are best in certain times of the year. But when your team wins the Stanley Cup Final, when they raise Lord Stanley's Cup, it is that year for that brew. And it's the year for Breck Brew's Avalanche Ale. Finally, get in on all the hottest action, as you know. Get that cold hard cash at DraftKings Sportsbook. Bet on your favorite sports all summer long and gear up for football season, college and pro, right now. They're doing it over at DNVR Bets. Make sure you're subscribed to that podcast because Andre, RK, Yahir's over there. They got a rotating cast of characters that are coming in with all of the can't-miss bets. You can't miss on this offer because you can get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Make your first bet up to $1,000. And if it doesn't hit, you get another shot at a big win. Same game parlay, spreads, money lines, over unders, you name it. Deposit, withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-522-4700.
Well said, Patrick. Well said and well transitioned.
Thank you so much. I did want to get into Sean's experience in the Cape Cod League, as I had some good summer catch questions. Did you ever see that movie, Summer Catch?
I actually have not seen that movie.
Wow.
Don't we know people in it?
Yes. Corey Sullivan apparently is in it, of the Rockies and AT&T Sportsnet. Mm-hmm. Just like a small part. I think he might, I don't know if it's that he's a body double or if they do like a flyover, but he's in it for just a second. That movie's like 20 years old, which is, I would have guessed maybe like 12, 13, 20. It's the heyday of Freddie Prinze Jr.
Time is flying, Patrick. We are just catapulting towards death.
I think I'm ready for the big summer catch rewatch. I think I may have to go back and check that out.
I need to just do a watch, apparently. I owe it to myself and the people around me.
Love that. Yeah. Yeah. Played the Chatham Anglers, which I think might have even been the team from Summer Catch. I'm not sure. But it did star Jessica Biel, who's from Boulder, Colorado. So look at all these Colorado connections.
Oh my gosh. Incredible. We need to get Jessica Biel on the pod.
Noted baseball fan, Jessica Biel. Yeah.
So good.
Let's talk a little bit about the Field of Dreams game that we had last Thursday, which was going on right as we were broadcasting Cubs Reds. I think the Reds won. It was hard to tell with all the uniforms were kind of somewhat similar. I think Reds won 4-2. And, you know, we had briefly discussed, like, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the ratings. They did take a slight dip, 3.13 million viewed it this year versus nearly twice as many last year, 5.9. But last year was the first year. It very much was like this, oh my God, can you believe it's happening? So I think that's, you know, that's relative. I think you can expect that. Cubs and Reds really weren't bringing that juice. But again, in true form, you still got to keep people's attention and try something new. Did you get to see some of the different things that were going on, at least before the seventh inning stretch? We'll get to that. How much were you able to see from the game?
So we were already in our podcast on Thursday when the game started. So everything that I saw about the Field of Dreams game, I saw after the game because I got a shower when I get home. We're disgusting after we get back from the park. So I saw everything after the fact. I did love that the Griffies had a catch. I thought that was so sweet. Cool. And you know what? I feel like I've just seen so many people talk about how, especially men who have maybe lost fathers, just seeing that and being like, oh my gosh, like look at this father-son duo having a catch. Just it was an emotional moment for a lot of people.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was somebody in the press box in the last couple of days talking about maybe how they didn't like that movie or they weren't a baseball person. Or maybe it was, again, I'm overhearing someone telling a story from one of their friends. But just how that movie like resonates with them, even though they maybe weren't necessarily baseball fans. It's just this iconic thing of like, you know, like you want to have a game of catch with your dad. Even if you weren't huge into sports, you know, that's just a moment of just silence, of having a conversation, whatever it is. And so it was very fitting, again, with the Reds being there. You had two Cincinnati Reds in Ken Griffey Sr., Ken Griffey Jr. So that I thought that was really sweet, seeing those two out together. I was telling my father about it, and I was like, yeah, and then Ken Griffey Sr. dropped the ball. He threw the ball to his dad, and he dropped it. I'm like, and I'm like, you know what? After I was repeating it out loud, I'm like, I think I like that more because that's – especially, you know, if you're a guy like in your late 40s and you're having a game of catch with your dad who's in his 70s, like he's not going to catch it. Even if he played in the major leagues for like 15 years, Ken Griffey Sr., he just dropped it. And you're like, well, that's okay. Who cares?
It was humanizing.
Yeah, no, true, right? Because that's also the thing is that like not everyone, you know, even played baseball in high school, let alone the minor leagues or professionally or in the major leagues. So if you are 40, 50, it doesn't matter your age, you can have a game of catch with anyone and you don't have to be throwing 80 miles an hour on your first one. Just go have a catch. Mm-hmm. Just go do that. So I thought, yeah, very true. Very humanizing and fitting because they are humans. Mm-hmm. And then flash forward to the seventh inning.
Something you can't play catch with.
Yeah, not a humanoid. I don't know. I mean, I guess officially it was a hologram.
The hologram of the late Harry Carey.
I like it in concept. I think I like it more than I dislike it. I was just really caught by surprise. Harry Carey also looked different than I remembered him. I think I just thought of what he looked like in the late 80s and early 90s when he was maybe a little skinnier. He didn't have as much weight on him. I'm also remembering Will Ferrell doing the Harry Carey impersonation.
You know what? So his grandson, Chip, actually said, I have his quote up right here. This is word for word what he said. I guess they're feeding him really well in heaven. That's the only way I can put it. At least I hope he's in heaven. A lot of days I wonder if he's looking down or is he looking up. Again, wow. It was fun.
Okay, interesting. All right, so it wasn't just me.
But overall, he said, he's like, I can't speak for the family, but I liked it. But he said it looked like Harry put on a few pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you were there in Iowa, you probably, I don't know if you saw anything. I didn't see a lot of fans like looking back, like, what the hell is that up there in the press box? I think it was more on the TV side. They obviously did play his voice, you know, over the PA system, which again, if you were there in person, you might not have seen the hologram, but I thought that was a really good touch with the Cubs there. So you had a little bit of Cubs, a little bit of Reds flavor there. So I think that was a really good balance, much like the balance on every single sexy pizza. Man, they were clutch last year at the Broncos tailgates. Well, guess what? You don't have to wait for those tailgates because you can get in person. Capitol Hill, Old South Pearl, Jefferson Park, and Park Hill. Sexy pizza is as local as it gets. We're talking deck oven pizza, hand-tossed, made from scratch each morning dough, and the East Coast elites, that's Susie and I, we thumbs up approval on their pizza. Yes, it is very, very good. It's legit. Check them out. They got one down in Trinidad, Colorado as well. Go to www.sexy.pizza. I'll say it again. Their website is www.sexy.pizza. Check out their about page for their donations link because actually they do some cool things. So if you need to get a party catered or something like that, they love giving back to local organizations. And they're just on the ball. Much like the folks over at Green Mountain Dental Group, because tell the team over there at Green Mountain Dental Group, they've taken great care of our DNVR community and even our DNVR personalities. But if you actually mention now that DNVR Sports sent you, besides getting already their top-notch care and cleaning and all the great stuff that you might not always get with a dentist, they do that and they go one step beyond. Mention DNVR Sports. They're actually going to get you a $300 discount for all full orthodontics treatments for new patients. Yes, $300 for that. Also, if you mention DNVR Sports, you get a free set of bleach trays at $350 value with a new patient cleaning, exam, and x-rays. And as someone who a couple months ago did bleach trays for the first time, I was a little bit like leery of them. I didn't know. It was great. They set me up with the right one, and it ended up working out. Really,
let's see
really
them
well.
Chompers. Let's see those bleached teeth.
Haven't even brushed in like a week, and look how white they are.
Oh, Patrick, for legal thing. Purposes, he is joking.
Yes, legal? Okay. Am I gonna be suing myself for slander? I could. You never know.
Yeah.
You live in one of those worlds, but make sure you live in the world in which Green Mountain Dental Group is your dentist, and mention DNVR Sports so you can get some fantastic kickbacks. Now, on Twitter, there were a lot of kickbacks when it comes to the Field of Dreams game.
Yes.
Because people are like, cool. Harry Carey, this is cool, but we got to peep the tweets on the folks who didn't think it was cool.
Yeah, the feedback on social media, not so positive. People in general, the vibe seems to be creeped out. So let's start looking at some of those tweets. I loved this meme. The Harry Carey hologram looks like that.
Tim Robinson.
That dude yeah. From what is that show called? I Think You Should Leave. That's what it is.
Tim Robinson.
Looks just like, if you're, I hope you're watching us on YouTube, because if you're just listening to the podcast, you are missing out on this funny meme. Let's see the next one. All right. It would have been more respectful if they dug up Harry Carey's corpse and ziplined him over the crowd. This was it's a very strong take.
For legal purposes, that is Susie Hunter.
No, I did not. That is not a tweet from me.
No, whose voice? It was your voice. I'm just. That's my voice. You advocated for this graphic.
I did not advocate for this. The tweets we showed do not respect our viewpoints. All right. Here's another tweet. I'm in the middle of a cornfield on a night with a full moon and a hologram of Harry Carey. Again. Mike, I am worried about you. What is going on in your life?
He's got the check mark. So, I mean, that's legit, I guess.
Again. This one was a funny one, too. Hologram Harry Carey joins the cast of traumatic things Major League Baseball has done to me this season. So we've got a picture of the hologram. We've got a picture of whatever this is from the Rays, this, like, droopy stingray.
Wow.
And then whatever stingray. This is that the Dodgers put together, this, like,
it's a candy monster.
Can man. Oh, is it candy?
It's candy. Awesome. Yeah, look. His hands are kind of cinnamon rolls. His hair is obviously like red vine licorice. Yeah, he's got all kinds of treats, but he's still scary. Yeah.
Terrifying. Terrifying. Yeah, I guess I really haven't realized how much MLB has traumatized us this season. But here we are, getting through it.
Seeing a still photograph of the hologram, it does look good. Like, it does look like Harry Carey. It's just the kind of the moving around. I think... Yeah.
Why do we keep trying to make holograms happen? I feel like every time there's a hologram that makes an appearance somewhere, no one likes it.
The only other hologram that I know of is the old Tupac hologram from Coachella. But was there like a Whitney Houston hologram at one point?
I think at one point there was a Michael Jackson hologram.
Makes sense. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Or at least rumors of one for sure. I agree. I've heard something about that.
Yeah. We need to, I don't know.
The history of holograms?
Kale commented in the chat, we need to be out on holograms.
Yeah, the hologram technology, it's kind of like the robotic umpire strike zone. It's like, I mean, it's going to be good, but it could give you nightmares. And so be aware of that. If we've got the automatic ball strike system coming, it could go as well as Harry Carey. But look, it definitely will go a lot better then things are going right now for the San Diego Padres and Fernando Tatis Jr. Now, besides the fact that the Dodgers had won 12 straight, they finally lost on Sunday, their first game in August and their first game since losing to the Colorado Rockies on July
30th. There you go.
I mean, the champs in 2020, people give the Dodgers credit for winning the World Series in 2020, but there was only one team that beat the Dodgers in any series, and that was the Colorado Rockies. So really, who was the champs that year?
Honorary World Series champions.
Sure. So the Dodgers have that to contend with, but now they got news. I think it came out on Friday that Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to be suspended for 80 games for performance-enhancing drugs. So that means the final 50 plus games of this year, as well as ultimately probably the first month of next season as well. I was shocked. I'm still a little bit shocked by this bit of news. The more I dig deeper, the more it kind of makes a little sense for him to have done it. I'm not saying it was right. And I certainly am not giving him, I'm not letting him off, right? I'm not giving him a pass. But I'm still overall just shocked that this happened.
Yeah, I'm shocked too that, you know, after being out for so long, after being out because you were not being careful, why would you not continue to be careful with what you are putting in your body? But he says that he took this substance by accident because it was part of a ringworm medication. And I learned a lot about ringworm because I think every person on earth Googled ringworm. Ringworm's not even a worm. It's a fungus that is on your skin. So it's not even a worm.
Yeah.
Where did he get ringworm?
Well, allegedly, my uninformed opinion, but informed enough. Look, we all pretend to be medical doctors in the last couple of years by going online and doing about 5 minutes of research and thinking we know everything about it. So you know what? I'll go ahead and pretend that I do know everything about it. What I do know is that the drug that he was popped for is not something that's used to treat ringworm. So that's kind of a little bit funny. There is a drug that has a similar sounding name and is spelled similarly, but is a little bit different. And that would be the drug that you take for ringworm. So it's definitely a little bit fishy. Now, there's a podcast that I'll dip my toe into once in a while with a former executive. I mean, he was... I don't think he was the general manager. I think he was part of a co-ownership group of a couple teams and, you know, talked about the fact that Fernando Tatis Sr., the father, was suspected allegedly of taking performance-enhancing drugs. He feels very strongly about it, but there's no evidence to suggest that his father did it, but we know the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I also started thinking outside the box, like, well, this makes no sense from the PR standpoint. As you said, Susie, you know, like, hey, you already made one mistake. Two wrongs don't make a right. Mm-hmm. But I think to him it does. But you're right. You go, wow, this is really bad. Like, you already look pretty foolish and you were a little bit selfish there and reckless and you hurt your team's chances to win a World Series. And then you go out and you hurt it even more. Like, that's foolish. But I think for him, for a guy who has a guaranteed contract, there is no consequence. There is no foul. If he was a young player going into his third year of arbitration or whatever it would be, this would be his fourth year in the big leagues, but still, then that's going to hurt how much money he's going to make in arbitration, how much money he could potentially make as a free agent. And so there would be that penalty. He doesn't have that penalty. Yeah, he doesn't have that penalty now because he's got that guaranteed money. And really, you know, this could be an injury that if he comes back too soon or if it's just not strong enough, you know, it could impact him for another year or two. Well, you take some performance-enhancing drugs. Now you're going to be a little bit stronger, right? You're going to be a little bit less injury-prone, and so your numbers won't suffer overall. And so I think in the long run, this could have been a better decision for him and when I say his team, I don't mean the Padres, but his team of folks that represent him and whatnot. But from a PR standpoint, it looks really, really bad. And you kind of, you're almost looking to Juan Soto, another guy who's 23 years old, and saying, hey, Juan, can you be a role model to this other 23-year-old guy? Like, it's amazing that they've got these two legendary generational type players. But there's starting to become a gap now because Soto's actually doing it. He's healthy. He's on the field. He's doing it the right way. Whereas Tatis, not as much. So the Padres may have to look for Soto for some of that leadership of another young guy who's not really doing it the right way right now.
Yes. And of course, we are all just, you know, speculating all of this, of course. But, you know, yeah, Juan Soto, he is, he's got to be the guy to step up. But I can't even imagine how disappointed Padres fans are after all of the hope, all of the trade deadline moves. Just thinking that this is finally your year when you get Tatis back and then finding out you're not getting him back right now.
I can, and you know, and again, this season isn't over and this push for contention for the Padres isn't over. Still got a couple more years, but I can hear some people out there saying like, well, see, everyone would love the Padres and they were just praising them, et cetera, et cetera. No one has ever said that the moves that they've made is going to guarantee them a championship. Dodgers are the same way. They, you know, look at some of the moves that they've made in the last couple of years. And, you know, yes, they made the Turner deal and Betts and Freddie Freeman, but then a lot of other almost like kind of minor type signings and stuff. So no one's appointing them the World Series champ, but they are crediting them for doing a good job developing their players, making good transactions, things of that nature. And for a small market club like the Padres, yes, no one has said that they are guaranteed anything here, but you've got to still give them all the credit in the world for going out and making this attempt and making this push for a small market club. Because eventually the wheels are going to fall off. They will have to trade away a lot of these guys. Tatis Jr. maybe even at some point could be one of those players. Juan Soto in 2 years possibly. So if they can't re-sign him, they might want to recoup some of their losses and prospects. But the fact that they've gone after it is what is the most important point.
Because not every team can say that their team went after it.
Yeah, that they
not every fan base can say that.
This is true. Yes, that is true. Ultimately, what's also true is this week we'll have a post game show on Tuesday as well as Thursday in studio. But Rocky's got the Cardinals again. We're not done with that Nolan Arenado cat. They go to St. Louis. 4-3. They're there now. They flew in on Sunday night. I don't think there were any interesting details in their flight plan, right? They got there pretty safely and soundly, right?
They got there safe without incident, unlike, you know, the D-backs getting to Denver, but they should be well-rested and ready to go for this Cardinals series.
What was the D-back story? Because I don't think I caught wind of what happened with Arizona.
You know, they got, they left really late. They got stuck on the tarmac for 7 hours.
What?
So they got in at like a really ungodly hour on the first day of that series. So they looked pretty tired, not going to lie.
So they, do they have a day game on Thursday? And then they, you know, they left Thursday night and they got all caught up on the tour.
I think that's,
What was the reason that they were caught out there?
You know what? I'm not sure, but it sounded brutal.
You don't follow any tarmac accounts on Twitter? What the? I mean, look, if you're gonna,
you know, I don't, but I'll ask our aviation reporter what they have to say.
At Tarmac USA on Twitter. No, yeah. Wow, that I did not know that. Seven.
Yeah.
Wow, that is wild. And the Rockies still
a rough night for them. But yeah, the Rockies got in just fine last night in St. Louis. And this, we're almost at the end of seeing Nolan Arenado for the season.
Yep. Tuesday night, Kyle Freeland versus Jose Quintana. Rematch of lefties, Marquez against what will probably be Dakota Hudson. And then on the series rubber match there, we hope at least we can have this 1-1 split to keep it interesting. Going into Thursday, Antonio Senzatella against probable starter Jordan Montgomery. So we'll see what happens. Rockies usually struggle a little bit in St. Louis. That's kind of their thing there. I don't know how humid it is right now. Temperatures are dipping a little bit in Colorado, which is nice. But in St. Louis, man, they love their humidity out there, don't they?
It is one of the most humid places I've ever been in my whole life. But it's a beautiful stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. It is nice. Just like us and just like all of our great content on Twitter, at @DNVR_Rockies is where you can get all that good stuff. I'm at Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter.
And I'm at The Susie Hunter on all platforms.
We've got a ton of momentum here going into the Cardinals series. But you know what they truly say about momentum? It's only good as your next show. So we'll talk to you tomorrow.